5 p.m. Friday, October the 31st, and this is Issues and Answers, A Biblical Perspective. Hi, I'm Jim Cunningham, your host, along with my co-host, Pastor Gary Roy, and we invite you to stay tuned as we discuss issues of our time that few others are willing to address. God in Vienna. The views expressed on this show are very controversial and are not necessarily the views of the Assemblies of God or mine. However, I will give a biblical commentary at the end of the program. Today we have an audio clip from the late Dr. J. Allen Hynek, foremost authority on UFOs. He headed up the government's research on UFOs called Blue Book. There are people in government in high places that do believe in UFOs, and Dr. Hynek is one of them.
The late Dr. J. Allen Hynek headed up the Air Force investigation into UFOs called Project Blue Book and was acknowledged to be the world's foremost authority on UFOs. After amassing a computer bank of over 63,000 sightings, he states,
"The UFO phenomenon is truly a phenomenon of our time. It is an extremely puzzling one and calls forth a wide spectrum of opinions. No matter what one may think about UFOs, no matter what one may believe about them, whether it is all nonsense or whether they represent something very, very real, three facts stand out, three facts which no one can deny. The first is that UFO reports exist. Secondly, that UFO reports come from all over the world. And the third is that many are made by highly responsible people, often scientifically trained. We scientists have no positive proof yet of the origin or even of the reality of these strange reported craft. But we do know the reports themselves are very real. To find the answer to this magnificent scientific puzzle, the UFO phenomenon, we need to approach it with a truly open mind so we can explore all possible avenues of explanation."
Okay, that's Dr.
MacArthur.
That's Dr. J. Allen Hynek, and that's his evaluation of the UFO phenomena. Jim Cunningham here with you, and just to give you a little background on myself, I'm a lay minister, and I've researched the UFO phenomena in light of the scriptures for about 25 years. This issue just doesn't go away, and it's becoming more predominant to our culture as we proceed into the future. Many men of God are beginning to realize that it could play a key role in delusion events of the end times. So tonight we're going to proceed and do an interview with a gentleman from Washington State, and he is going to share with us from his book, Lying Wonders, what he believes about the UFO phenomena. So we're hopefully going to make contact with him momentarily, and he's going to come on and share from his book for you and for us concerning lying wonders. The gentleman's name that we're addressing is going to come on and be with us tonight is Bob Kaminsky. Bob is a Boeing aerospace engineer. He received a Bachelor of Science degree in Electrical Engineering and Communications from the Milwaukee School of Engineering. Bob has been engaged in Christian Charismatic Renewal for the past 15 years and is currently involved in various Christian denominational and non-denominational outreaches. His interest in UFO began in 1953 while he was on active duty in the U.S. Navy, while on training exercises in the Gulf of Mexico. He observed a strange spot on radar screen about aboard the USS Monterey CBL-26. For many years prior to this, the author dismissed UFOs as a figment of other people's imagination. His skepticism came primarily because of the questionable stories published and unpublished, although most important UFO phenomena was not an issue clearly covered in the Bible. He needed to get some answers. After becoming a student of the Bible, Bob began to look for answers. This commenced his research and posed the question, if flying saucers were not specifically covered in the Bible, then how do we account for the strange reports from reasonable people? So it's a real privilege tonight for us to have this gentleman with us from the state of Washington, and I'll let him come in here in a little while and share with us exactly where he's located in Washington State. I just finished reading his book a few weeks ago, and I myself have researched, as I said, the UFO phenomena, and I came up with a title called The Strong Delusion, which is basically located in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, and Bob has a book called Lying Wonders, which deals with many areas of this delusion, end-time event, that other men who are working on it have not covered. And so at this time, it's a real privilege tonight to have Bob Kaminsky, author of Lying Wonders, with us. And Bob's going to come on now and introduce himself a little more fully, and we'll go into some questions here in a while, and let you get an idea what his book is all about. We're living in the end times, and UFOs play a key role in it. As you heard earlier, Dr. Alan Hynek said he was a believer in the UFO phenomena as the government attempted to quiet him on that issue. So there are a number of individuals that in high places and have held high position in government that do believe this phenomenon is real. And some believe that there are individuals that are keeping it from us. I believe the Bible does address the issue. So we're going to, at this time, invite Bob in and say good evening, Bob, and welcome aboard.
Hello, James. How you doing?
Great. How about yourself?
Just fine. Just fine here. I guess it's a little later back there where you're at. We still have a little drizzly sunlight out here.
Oh, great. Very good. I wanted to start off our program tonight and get a little bit of an idea why you titled your book The Lying Wonders.
Well, Jim, that's a good question. I did a lot of reading, a lot of searching, primarily on my own, because after being in the ministry for many years, I've had a lot of people come to me with strange stories, stories that I just somehow didn't fit my theology. And nor could I really understand them. I just thought, hey, this is wrong. This shouldn't be happening. In my search, of course, reading through the Bible, we can see, like you mentioned, in 2 Thessalonians, we see that in the end times, it's going to be very clear that there's going to be some strange things happen. And in the vernacular, in one of the versions, says, the wicked one will come with the power of Satan to perform all kinds of false miracles and wonders, or lying wonders in other versions.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the title of the book from that, because there's so much that happens that is not directly attributable to something you can put under a microscope or physically examine, but it is still very real, because real people are having these experiences.
Mm-hmm. I noticed in one of your chapters you talked about I'm curious as to what is the Luciferic initiation that you refer to in the first few pages of your book.
Well, you know, in my search, Jim, I began to take a hard look at various things as to what's disturbing Christianity. Without really looking hard, I began to plow through a lot of New Age material and begin to see that there was sort of a subtle plan that was emerging. And I think the plan becomes very evident in the modern sense, starting back in the late 60s and early 70s, when we saw this great wave pass over mankind in rebellion. All the young people were doing their own thing, getting into drugs, into the free love, and so forth. Well, what happened is I began to see there was a plan. There was a structured thought that came through this. And that rebellion is set in motion now, not only free thinking, but an openness to all kinds of things where prior to this, we as Christians were not open to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the various forms of a cult.
Mm-hmm. I noticed in our bio that we read on you on concerning your background in the beginning, you didn't get in on some of this because we got a little bit of a late hookup with the phone, but we mentioned that you had personally been involved with radar and had perhaps seen a squadron or had seen a plot on radar that,
yes,
that got your attention. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, a young person, actually around 48, 49, I had an encounter in a ball field. I was playing out in the outfield as I think I was about 17 years old. And I looked up in the sky, and just a sort of a white, fuzzy thing had way up in the blue sky. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. This thing went drifting across at a high rate of speed and went so fast it was not able to tell anybody, hey, look, because it was gone. And so that was my first encounter. The second one I had was I was in a service on the USS Monterey. I was in the Gulf of Mexico, and if you remember, several books written back in the 50s were talking about UFOs hovering or being seen over the Gulf of Mexico. But at this time, I was actually on a training carrier. We would train Navy pilots how to land on aircraft carriers, and we did a lot of our work in the Gulf of Mexico. Well, one evening after we were all done with the training flights that day, we were just steaming, getting ready for the position of the next morning for another run of training with these airplanes. And all of a sudden, it came on a plot, this large screen that we plotted the aircraft and ships on. Something started to appear that was moving very rapidly. And so we froze the plot. We were able to freeze the plot on the track, and we could see that this thing was moving at great speeds, greater than anything that we had that was known to us that could fly that fast. It was a matter of thousands of miles per hour. At that time, we were flying SNJs and prop planes, and even our jets weren't even up to speeds like that. So that was my first encounter, and it was frozen on the plot. Several of us gathered around. We went outside, looked up to see where this thing was. It came from the north, and it stopped and hovered over the ship. We could see that on the plot. And then all of a sudden, 360 degrees, it took off in another direction. Actually, 270 degrees, it took off in another direction. And we had frozen that plot, and we all wondered what that thing was. We all said, well, it looks like a UFO plot, but we never actually saw it, but the radar did pick it up.
Pastor Gary Roy is here with us this evening. He's co-hosting the program with me, and he would like to jump in here, too. He's looking through the issue, and he would like to pose a question to you.
Yeah.
Bob, in your book, Lying Wonders, you mentioned the book like UFO Crash at Roswell, and you kind of allude to a government cover-up to cover up some of the findings there. Could you, comment on that?
Jim, I'm not sure if Gary was saying something.
You couldn't hear him?
I could just barely hear something in the background.
We're going to try it again.
Well, in your book, you mentioned that books like the UFO Crash at Roswell, Out There, and Above Top Secret, and many others suggest that there was a major cover-up by the government to cover some of these things up. I wonder if you could expand on that a little bit.
Well, yes. Actually, there are several books. There's the Above Top Secret, the Rainbow Conspiracy Out There by Howard Blum. There is the UFO Report, UFO Crash at Roswell, the Gulf Resightings. There's many, many of them. Actually, also, Like a Pale Horse, written by William Cooper, highly controversial book, but he has some interesting information in there. What I did was I took a very slow, methodical, page-by-page look at the Above Top Secret, which is a very thick document. It's about 600 pages. And I began to go through this thing very carefully. I wanted to see if I could verify anything in there. What surprised me more than anything else is I ran across an incident that I personally was involved in as an engineer at the Boeing Company, and it had to do with UFOs. Now, I never told anybody about it outside of the fact that I had worked that issue back in the late 60s. And there it was, written up by Timothy Good and Above Top Secret. And so I realized that what I went through in that particular incident tells me that the government does know. They have ideas of what's going on, and it appears that there is a cabal or a government within the government. People who are keeping the lid on things, no matter how much comes out, they rigidly keep a lid on. Now, this UFO incident that I'm referring to is I was a project engineer, and we got a report which we would help the air materiel area do some engineering on certain missile sites. They sent in a report that said, hey, we had 10 sites that went down. they were in the green, ready for launch, and then 1 second, and then a few seconds later, they were all in the red. They were not launchable. And knowing how the missile systems are put together and how they're intertied and how the redundancy network goes there, it's virtually impossible for having 10 of them go down. You can have one, maybe two. But all 10 and a whole flight of 10 went down, and it was called the Echo Flight up in Malmstrom Air Force Base. Now, long story very short, those 10 missiles disturbed the hierarchy of the Air Force. They sent us the project. They're looking to send a team out to find out what was happening and what happened. Well, unbeknownst to me at the time, is that there was a report that there was a UFO hovering over a launch control facility. And that was the launch control facility that would control those 10 birds. And that was apparently seen by several airmen, and it was reported there. Now, at the time I got the report, I wasn't told about the involvement of UFOs. So we sent a team out, and we went to all the sites, checked everything out, and there was nothing wrong. All those sites came back up online, and we could not find one thing wrong, not one. We looked at the power poles with the transformers leading into the power systems. We looked at the internal power systems, the electronics, everything, and there was nothing that we could attribute to this kind of a malfunction. So this becomes a very mysterious thing. Now, in the process of doing the investigation, we all of a sudden were shut down. We got a call from our representative in that particular air materiel area and said, Bob, you're going to get a stop work order. Don't do anything more and do not write a final engineering report. I said, whoa. So then he tells me why. Then he adds in the UFO connection. Now, at that time, it tells me that the Air Force all of a sudden knew something. They were trying to find some answers, and then they just shut everything down. And when you spend government money, you have to account for it. And we did that by telling what our progress was and our engineering analyses. Well, we were told in this case, send no report. Found that to be very, very strange. This is one of many reasons why I find that behind the scenes, there's something going on. Now, there's a guy by the name of Bob Salas, who has taken this. He's an Air Force officer, and he has taken that particular incident and another nearby incident and what they call a November flight, and he's going to write a book on that. I've been in contact with him, and he likewise, as I have come up with it, there is more known here within the government that the government's willing to bring out or allow out. How do you like that?
Well, it's obvious from what you're saying and what you write in your book that there is a cover-up by the government. And we know that we don't always get the truth out of the government sometimes. But in your book, matter of fact, even your byline on the cover of the book says evil encounters.
Right.
And now, are you connecting UFOs with something other than what we would call another life form? Are you connecting that with something?
Well, yes, I really have to, because as you well know, sooner or later, no matter what we think about in life, we have to connect it to some form of a standard that we can live by and accept. The only standard we Christians have and we can really rely upon is the Word of God. So I had to go looking to find out, hey, why are these things happening? Does God allow other alien life forms to all of a sudden visit us, to abduct people, to do horrifying and terrifying things to their bodies? And I'm saying, wait a minute, this does not fit my God or my theology of what God's all about or what he says in his word. So reading Bud Hopkins' analysis and other people like Howard Blum and Raymond Fowler, and just to name a few, they all say that there's no one who's been abducted that is left without some kind of a emotional scar. Now, as you and I know, we don't have a God who generally visits us and gives us those kinds of experiences. So what I'm finding out is the large majority, I'm not willing to say 100%, but I'm willing to say the largest majority, and it's probably up there in the high 90%, is probably not of God. Now, I thought that when I started my investigation, view it, it was 100% demonic, and that's all there was to it. I'm still convinced that that's the case for the largest majority. The heavenly host that has fallen from grace from God, there is a technology involved with them. They're not all raving demons shouting profanity and causing people to foam at the mouth. They are very sophisticated. They're able to influence people, and that's what I call the Luciferic initiation. It's an event where people undergo a psychological and a transformation to reach a kind of a consciousness that takes them beyond what God has ever intended. And they begin to espouse a new theology and a new interpretations of God's word that were never intended or never used by the Christian world. So when you take a look at these things, you find out that, hey, there's something going on behind the scenes here. Something that is evil, something that has a definite plan.
What has your response been to your book, Bob, since you put it out? Is the Christian community in agreement with you on this as a whole?
Actually, I've got some good responses. Believe it or not, I get an awful lot of good response from people who are just in the secular world who've read the book and had their eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
Many Christians have written me letters and told me their experiences and was really surprised that they were very happy to see someone finally tackle the issue. What really, I guess, got me was a couple of Christians who I knew very well read the book, and they were very seriously disturbed by it because it shook them up as to these things might be happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, Jim, one of the reasons why I got involved in this is that there was a young lady who I mentioned in the book. I call her Sue in the book. And she had an experience not far from Mount Rainier where she lives with UFOs. Now, she loves the Lord, and she's a born-again Christian, and just a beautiful person in many ways. But she came to me with some very strange stories. And I began to say, well, this can't happen. This can't be. So again, this began to spur my appetite to find out, hey, what is going on? Can this happen to Christians? Because there are people out there who believe, hey, Christians can have bad experiences like this. Well, after I investigated and talked with her over a period of time, I began to realize that she opened a door. And the door that she opened was earlier in life through occultic involvement in witchcraft. And not only that, it came in to the rest of the family as well. They both experiences, her and her son and others experiences these strange sightings over their home. And I write about that. Sue is a really neat person now. She's closing that door, and it's beginning to get, you know, to the point where she's not frightened to look up at the nighttime sky anymore, thinking she's going to see something she can't bear to see. But these are some of the things that I've had to wrestle with as a Christian, and saying, hey, if people come to me and tell me these things, where does it fit? Where's the box that I put this stuff into?
Mm-hmm. So you believe that a Christian can be detrimentally affected by a previous experience in the occult, even after they're saved, it could still be there in the background to trouble them?
Yes. There's a great man of God, used to be known as David Duplessis. He was used to be known as Mr. Pentecost. He had a Vatican II passport. He was highly regarded by many, many Christians around the world. I heard him speak one time, and someone from the audience asked him, he says, is it possible for a Christian to have a demon? And, of course, a lot of us don't believe that was true with him. But he just smiled and looked up, and by this time he was in his late 70s. He smiled, looked up, and he said, a Christian can have anything he wants. And I said, whoa. Interesting. Yes, it is possible. Yes, we can profess. We can go to church. We can profess Christ. We can know the doctrines of the church. And yet, we can still be open to the New Age theologies and the new higher levels of consciousness and be robbed of the very Christianity we profess.
Okay, this being true, do you feel that we have the mechanism in place inside the church as a whole at this time to identify this problem, and do we have them? Are we beginning to address it, or are we addressing it at all?
I'd like to say yes to those questions, but I can't. I would say that there seems to be a move by a few people. I know that John Ankerberg and John Weldon have released books on this subject, and they're very much concerned about it. There's a book out by William Alnor.
UFOs in New Age, another Christian writer who treats it, adequately. But my overall answer would be no, because I remember going to the pastor of my church when I was doing my investigation, and I mentioned to him that I wanted to bring in a New Age person who would talk about the New Age to one of the prayer groups that I lead. And he looked at me and he says, "Oh, well, I'll show go ahead." He says, "But you got to understand," he says, "that stuff is all passe and it's dying on its own weight." I was floored by the statement because it brought to mind that he was completely ignorant, and I didn't mean it in a disrespectful sense, he was completely ignorant of what was really happening. The New Age, which we read about some years ago, is no longer a thing to happen. It's completely folded into the fabric of society and is fully enmeshed in some aspects in Christianity.
How was that brought about?
Well, mainly because I think from the pulpit we never really continued to hear over the many years of the detrimental or the negative effects of the occult. See, the occult has cleaned up its act, and it uses new terminology. The New Age talks about higher levels of consciousness, remote viewing, astral travel, all these things that you can have. And of course, Christianity has not kept up with this, and that discusses it. They stay away from it. They fear it. They don't seem to know what to say about it. And I don't hear anything from the pulpit. Now, the UFO conference they had down in Roswell this past year, there was a pastor down there, and I forget his name right now, but there was a pastor down there who took and seized the opportunity to take that week's explosion and celebration of UFOs because of the Roswell incident, and he took and used it as a great rally to bring young people throughout the whole area to understand what these things are and to use it to bring them to Christ. Now, he used this thing as a very positive force, and he did it in the right kind of way. I did speak with him. I've sent him some of my books, which he's distributed down there. And I was very pumped to see that somebody was not afraid to have the stigma of being Christian and yet talk about UFOs. And it seems that that stigma, generally speaking across society, is still there for Christians. And yet we are desperately in need today of the standard by which we Christians can come together and take a careful look, not only from a scientific point of view, and the data, but also from a spiritual point of view and what God says, and then come up with what this stuff is all about. It's just not there.
Bob, the New Age theology or ideology that you talk about has been around for a long time.
Yes, it has.
How is it that the church missed this? Or did they just turn their back on it or turn a deaf ear to it?
Well, I think, to put it simply, I think the churches have been too busy just showing up their own theological walls. And even though they saw the early books back 10 years ago or so, 12 years, 15 years ago, talk about the New Age, they never really perceived it to be the threat it has become. I believe as I mentioned earlier, the hippies and the so-called people of the 60s have now entered into the main fabric of our society, and that's schools, colleges, universities, various offices of government and so forth, and they brought their theology of this openness with them. And in the process, I think we Christianity saw Christianity then get squeezed out, and it's not in vogue. We can't talk about Jesus. We can't talk about Christ in schools or any place we go, even on the work sites. So through this, then there was a replacement, and the replacement was the New Age and all of its various faces. We know that Satan has a plethora of different programs that can trap people. And I think we can see this, and I tried to deal with that in the early part of Lying Wonders. And the second part and the third parts of Lying Wonders, I get into more of the UFO enigma, and then I get also into where I think that church theologically is in trouble.
in your book, in the chapter, The Strange World of UFOs, you have a interview, or you quote someone by the name of Schreiber, an author that wrote a book, I believe, Communion.
And, well, he wrote several books. The ones I actually spent a lot of time studying very carefully was Communion and Transformation.
Well, he talks about some encounters that he recalled after he was either went to a psychiatrist or these were he was able to recall them, and he had a conversation with the aliens, and he asserted that they had no right to violate him in the way that they did, and they told him that they did have that right.
Right.
Where would that come from?
That was one of the big questions I had to wrestle with in his books, because I find that a lot of the alien abductees often say, you have no right, and they then counter by saying, yes, we do have a right. You are on the edge of a very difficult situation here, and I tried to deal with it, and it's simply this. Where did the authority come from? How could they say we have every right and actually take the control away from the person and then do invasive procedures either through their mouth, their brains, their ears, their eyes, or their sexual organs and do the things they do? God would not do these things. God does not have spiritual mechanics that need to come do these things. So this is the evil aspect of it. Something else is going on here. But the crux of your question is, where does this authority come from? I think the crux of this authority comes from those people who at the time of those visitations are known not to be in God's camp and are therefore vulnerable to the enemy.
Okay, how about the Christian that is in God's hands? I know what you said earlier, but how about the Christian that is doing the right thing, reading his Bible, witnessing, doing what God has told us to do and fulfilling the Great Commission? Do we have reason to fear of this type of abduction?
I would say no. If we have, and here again, you're getting right to the fine edge of something that's very important. If we have a very close, personal relationship with Jesus, whom we know, then I would say you're under covering. But a lot of people who are Christians, who go to church and profess Christianity and sing the praises and the hallelujah chorus, but in their off time, they really aren't Christian. They don't act Christian. I think they're vulnerable.
Christian in name only, is that what you're saying?
Right, they're vulnerable. See, but there's a word, the word is believe, and there's a scripture, I think it's found in the Gospel of John, says, what is the work of God? And the answer is, to believe on him whom he has sent. The word believe is key. We all know what the word believe means. I believe I can start my car when I put the key in the ignition. I believe when I get up in the morning I can turn on my shaver and it's going to work, because it's always done that. But what this word believe translates into in another terminology is means to cling to. In other words, it's not just believing there's a God. It's not just believing there's a Jesus. It's clinging to them. Far different than just the word. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir, it does. Good. I just want to stop for a moment here and once again remind the people that you're listening to Issues and Answers, A Biblical Perspective. I am Jim Cunningham along with Pastor Gary Roy. And tonight we're interviewing a gentleman from Washington State. His name is Bob Kaminsky. He's the author of Lying Wonders, and he's dealing with a issue called Evil Encounters of the Close Kind. Bob is a retired Boeing executive. He's the winner of the William A. Allen Award for Community Service in 1990. So we encourage you pay close attention to what Bob is saying. We're breaking fertile ground here tonight. Very few people want to talk about this subject, about UFOs and what effect it's going to have upon the Christian community in the end times. I personally feel it's going to play a key role in what is known as the strong delusion of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
And so we're trying to raise the awareness on this issue. We're not trying to glorify UFOs. We're not trying to scare anyone. We're just trying to make people aware that something is going on. It is captivating the minds of people all over the world. The UFO phenomena is a very real subject, and it has a lot of attachments that go with it. And Bob is addressing some of those issues for us tonight from his book, Lying Wonders. So with that, we'll get back to Bob and ask him another question. You claim in your book that there's a government within our government. Can you get a little bit closer on that and explain that more fully than you have already?
Well, yes, anyone who does any kind of in-depth search, and it doesn't take an awful lot of searching. If you read some of the other researchers, credible researchers, like Timothy Good, like I mentioned him earlier, and Brad Steiger, Jack Valley, Howard Blum, Raymond Fowler, these people have gone into this, and I'm convinced that it doesn't take an awful lot to find out that there's something going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Even the UFO, the continuing enigma by Reader's Digest, even suggests this. It always appears that there's somebody who appears on the scene after these UFOs, especially if they have some information or pictures. And we call them MIBs, Men in Black, or whatever. And yet, for a government not willing to stand up and say these things exist, all of a sudden we have strange people showing up, knowing the name of the individual, and confiscating whatever data or information they have.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this is a direct contradiction as to saying, hey, they're not involved. They are involved. There are several aspects to look at the government within the government. Norio Hayakawa, which I believe you interviewed on one of your radio programs not too long ago.
Yes.
Norio is a great Christian who really believes that there is a conspiracy, of worldwide conspiracy, of what he refers to as a ruling cabal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have come to the conclusion that he may be right, mainly because there seems to be something that overrides the governments of the world that is calling shots, and somehow they call these shots in a way that shows that there's a plan, there's something behind it. The cabal can be made up of a lot of different aspects. Now, I mentioned this in my book, and there's one aspect that could be just a secret arm of the government not willing to let the information out. That's one aspect of it. Another one might be that, hey, there are extraterrestrials who have influenced man and are in, let's say, cahoots with mankind in different areas around the world to call the shots. And we know conspiracies, as tantalizing as they might be, is very hard to prove. A lot of books on it. There's a guy in Australia who wrote one called The Cosmic Conspiracy, Stan Dehau, another person who's been involved in the conspiracy when he was in part of the U.S. Air Force many years ago. When you start to take a look at under the covers of these things, you find out, hey, something's going on. Somebody's calling the shots. And it refers to there's something going on behind the scene. Now, William Cooper, in Like a Pale Horse, he nails it down. He says, yes, there is absolutely a secret agency under the NSA that really is calling the shots and knows exactly what's going on. Will not reveal the information to the people. Now, how far this conspiracy goes, I am not prepared to say. I have not reached any conclusion or end to it. But I do know that it appears that there's something going on. Now, if Satan and his ruling hierarchy were thrown down, thrown out of the highest heaven, he's not going to come down here and reveal himself as to what he really is.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to come down, and he's going to take over, and he's going to do things in a very sleuthing manner. And I think that's what's going on, and that's really what's behind wonders.
Do you feel
and
that... Oh,
people
sorry, go ahead.
Calling the shots behind the scenes.
Do you feel that Majestic 12 document has any validity to it?
I've read both sides of the story on the Majestic 12. I don't know what to say about it, but it appears to have some authentic information in there. It names the right kind of people, from Truman, Admiral, I forget his last name, many Twining, many people who were involved in that period of time, who would be the ones who would actually set in motion an organization that would begin to review this stuff. I think there's some validity behind it, just how much I do not know. I'm well aware of the document, have read it.
I see. Do you feel that you mentioned earlier about the heavens in Revelation chapter 13, it addresses that issue about where the heavens are going to be cleansed?
Yes.
And 12 and 13 actually talk
right.
about where the heavens are going to be cleansed, and Lucifer is going to be driven out of the heavens. Do you believe that's already happened or is in the process of taking place now?
I think it's in the process. You see, I think when we see in the New Testament Gospels, and we also see in the book of Revelation, Jesus is speaking, and he says, you know, I saw Satan fall from heaven, you know, the great dragon. And he took one third of the heavenly hosts with him, what Jesus was saying, what actually was going to occur. I think the process of that is that whenever he was found in total rebellion, he was removed, forced out of the highest heaven, and he was moved to the lower heavens, where he reigns in his own kingdom. And Jesus, makes reference to the kingdom of Satan. So that kingdom is intact, and it is still in a ruling structure. And as we know, he's the little G-God of this world.
Mm-hmm.
So he has every right, then, to do what he's doing. And I'm not surprised, because we can just see his handiwork. Feel it. It's in all these books.
What do you feel that the UFOs have to do with this deception? How do they play into this?
Years ago, there was a young evangelist at a retreat I attended, and he made a very unusual statement, which I thought was completely out of place. I just filed it away in the back of my head. And he said, as we enter in more and more into the end times, he says, we will see and actually experience demons being cast down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, whoa, that's pretty significant. That's like frightening. And yet, if you read in the book there, in Lying Wonders, I put a story in there about the monster that fell from the sky. And that's exactly what happened. There's a young man who was on his way home. He's about 18 years old, high school. He didn't drink. He didn't play Dungeons and Dragons. Wasn't into loud rock music. He's on the way home. So one evening, to a little town up there again, near Mount Rainier, and all of a sudden, his car stopped. Now, this is indicative of a lot of people who are in the evidence or in the area of a UFO. Their car just, the electrical system seizes up and it stops, and their lights go out and so forth. But in this particular incident, his lights stayed on, his dash lights went out, and his lights came to rest on a spot ahead of him about 30 feet away, on a little bit of a knoll, and in that spot of the knoll, this thing came down, which had wings attached to its back, blue fur, yellow eyes, a face like a wolf, and so forth, and it just startled him, it scared him, and yet I can see that it was a controlled event.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like when a UFO comes along, these things happen. So I'm beginning to say, you ask, well, is this something that's going to happen more and more? Is this an ongoing process now? I think it's an ongoing process now. And I think as we get closer to the end times, we're going to see a greater outpouring of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be strange, and it's going to be wondrous in some respects. And they're really going to be dazzling in others. But I do not think they're godly.
Okay. When you get into, and just briefly, because there's some other things I want to get, and we're running out of clock time here very quickly. I wonder, do you believe that there are any incidents at all that in the Old Testament or the New Testament where we can see that godly angels might be associated with something that today in our vernacular we would call UFO?
Yes, I want to make that clear. I do. Certainly, we see in Ezekiel, we see the visions that is portrayed there, the wheels within the wheels, the eyes within the wheels, and the four faces and so forth. We see something that the writer is describing that he didn't probably have a vernacular words to adequately describe. There's a definite possibility he saw something very unusual there. Elijah and Elisha, certainly whenever Elijah was taken up, yes, there's a whirlwind, a chariot of fire. Who knows what that is? I mean, certainly today, you look at it, it certainly could be something like a UFO. There are other situations. In Isaiah, we see all of a sudden appears in one of the writings of Isaiah, it says, "And what are these things that fly about as the clouds?" And I said, what's that? You know, what's that mean?
That's Isaiah 60, verse 8.
Yeah.
What about the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night? Now, even exactly. God himself was associated with that.
Exactly. See, these are all supernatural UFOs. Unidentified things. We don't know what else to describe them as.
Mm-hmm.
And giving credence to this one more step. Now, I know we're running out of time. What really changed my mind that these things may have an angelic touch to them in some instances. Nebuchadnezzar, as I have made mention maybe to you in my summer writing, whenever he was given, he was walking on the roof of his palace looking out, given another mind like an animal. Well, at that very moment, a heavenly watcher comes down and proclaims what he's going to immediately enter into. See? A heavenly watcher. Now, a heavenly watcher, we see the terms heavenly watcher, guardians, helpers, and there's other terms. In some instances, they may be godly. In other instances, they may not be.
Mm-hmm. Would it be safe to say that God's angels would never say or do anything that would contradict his word?
Yes.
That would probably be a good way to analyze the content of it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why we have to have the standard of Scripture. Without that standard, no one, we can't ferret this out.
In other words, we don't have to apologize for using God's word as our point of reference.
No, absolutely not. No, we shouldn't. As a matter of fact, that's the problem with the UFO community today.
Yes.
They're going off in 100 different directions because they don't have a standard.
Okay, I'm going to give you two final questions, and maybe you can wrap up our interview here. And we're talking with Bob Kaminsky from Washington State, author of Lying Wonders, a fantastic book written concerning this enigma of our present time. The final two questions, I'll put them together if I can, Bob, and you can kind of answer in respect to that.
Okay.
How can we protect ourselves and our children from these evil powers, and should Christians look into these issues, or are they better left alone?
Whoa, those are loaded questions.
But
very good ones.
Okay.
Number one, listen, my friend, we who belong to Jesus Christ have the power of prayer. And our children can be under our covering. But when we step out from under that covering, then our children are also vulnerable. And we see that there are children who are close to Christ. We carry that covering. And we don't have to fear these things. And the second aspect of your question was, I forgot it.
Should a Christian look into these issues or get involved?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I think an awful lot of a lot of things that we have normally accepted and have been a part of the Christian culture, we have lost because we stay behind our holiness temple.
Uh-huh.
We keep it behind the churches, the church walls. We have our own doctrines and dogmas. And we need to look into these things. We need to find out what's going on. There are new terminologies coming out. There are things that the enemy has changed his face about things. And good Christians are beginning to accept and open their minds to these things.
Mm-hmm.
A case in point is the Celestine Prophecy written by James Redfield. That book is very well written. It is, if you did not have a close walk with Jesus Christ and you read that book, you would say, oh, now I know the purpose of life. Now I understand there's a higher level consciousness. Now I can become one with the universe. These are not what God intended.
Mm-hmm.
They are very corrosive things. People read these books and they're filled with a pseudo-satisfaction, and yet they're being misled. And with tears in their eyes, they think they found fulfillment. And there's no repentance. There's no faith in Christ Jesus.
Very good. Thank you, Bob. How could people get in contact with you if they would like to correspond with you on this issue more closely?
Oh, certainly. As a matter of fact, for continuing research, I encourage people who want to share their stories with me, because I continue to look into all of this information. They can write me, Bob Kaminsky, P.O. Box 1463, Milton, Washington, 98354.
Give that one more time, please.
Yeah, that's Bob Kaminsky. That's K-A-M-I-N-S-K-I. P.O. Box 1463, Milton, M-I-L-T-O-N, Washington, 98354. And I'm very happy to hear from you, and I'll communicate with you. And it's all held in strictest confidence.
Thank you so much, Bob. We really appreciate it. Tonight we've been interviewing Bob Kaminsky from Washington State, the author of Lying Wonders. As you've heard, he has a lot of information. I wish we had 2 hours to go into this and really open this up more, but this is the first program of many programs to deal with issues like that. And by the grace of God, we'll have Bob back on at a later time and pursue this even further in more depth. But we really appreciate what you've done for us, my brother. You're paving a highway that few men are willing to trot, and I really appreciate that. It's been an encouragement to me, and I just pray that God will bless you as you continue to work in the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. And listen, if anybody wants those books, they can get them through you.
Okay, I'll run that ad here at the end of the program and tell them how to go about it. We appreciate it. And there again, we just pray that God will bless you and keep you, and we'll see you later on.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's Bob Kaminsky, the noted author of Lying Wonders. And for those of you that just tuned in, you're listening to Issues and Answers, A Biblical Perspective. I am James Cunningham, or Jim Cunningham, who has researched this UFO phenomenon for some time. We seem to have a phone problem here. We've got to fix that. And we got that fixed, okay? So anyhow, we invite you to participate with us in our programming in the future. Next week we'll be addressing the issue of UFOs, a biblical explanation, and we'll have open lines during that time and have you participate in that with us. You may not agree with what Bob has said or what you're going to hear me say, but the purpose of the program is to raise the awareness and get individuals to participate with us in the evaluation of this enigma. And we're not going to scold you if you don't agree with us. We're not going to belittle you or hang up on you unless you get extremely rude about it and put out something that's not allowed to go across the air. But we invite you starting next week to set aside the time to share with us your views on this subject, UFOs, from a biblical perspective. We will deal with many aspects that attach themselves to this issue. So we hope that you've enjoyed this evening's presentation. I'm going to ask Pastor Gary Roy from the First Assembly in Warren to come and do a biblical commentary for us at this time, a pastoral commentary on this issue. And then we'll get back to you and tell you how you can contact us and even show you or share with you how you can get the book Lying Wonders, as Bob mentioned earlier. So with this, I'm going to give Pastor Gary Roy the mic to share with you at this time.
Hello, I'm Pastor Gary Roy from First Assembly in Vienna. It's interesting that we're talking about this subject on Halloween. Halloween is one of the lies that the enemy has perpetrated on our society, and it's interesting how deep our society has gotten into the concept of Halloween. It has come from the idea of ghosts and goblins to the demonic, and that's where we are today. We have believed the lie. In 2 Thessalonians, we read about this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, "And then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they have received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." You know, Jim, in the Bible it tells us that there are certain individuals that if they persist and follow after sin, that God will give them up. Well, he'll give up on him, that his spirit will not always strive with men. But we know the scripture tells us, for in John 3:17, "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, not because God would condemn him, because he has rejected Christ." It's important that we realize that we must accept Jesus Christ. The 36th verse says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So we need to make it crystal clear that it's only through the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, that we're saved. And the enemy has perpetrated a delusion, a lie upon the people. It's very possible that Bob Kaminsky is right on in his book, Lying Wonders. We have to align it with the Word of God. I know that a lot of the scriptures have different interpretations, but it's very interesting to study.
Pastor, what's the address of the church? So people, if they want to contact you for any other reason other than even this material, if there's any problems that you're facing tonight and you'd just like to have someone to talk to, the pastor has a line or has a phone that you can reach him at, and I want him to share that with you.
Well, our phone number at the church is 394-1473, and we're at 5000 Warren Sharon Road in Vienna. It's appropriate that this Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we're going to have Dr. Van Eppie's latest film out, The Mark of the Beast, and he deals with a lot of the issues that we've been talking about tonight.
I've seen the excerpts from that, and it's phenomenal. They say it's a very moving presentation. So if you want a chance to get the first viewing on this video, we encourage you to come visit us at the First Assembly in Vienna on is it Vienna Road? I've been going there for several years, and I'm not sure what road I'm on.
Warren
Sharon Road, I'm sorry. So anyway, also, if you need to contact us at the Issues and Answers, you can write us at Post Office Box 4...
Field, Ohio, 44403 is the address. We also can be contacted through the email... through the email system, and our email address is ufosd@americaonline.com. Again, ufosd as in strong delusion @americaonline.com. So if you have any comments that you want to make in regards to the program, whatever you do, please, if you don't agree with what's being said here, do not take it out on the radio station. They're simply providing a service for us to come on and share with you what we have studied and researched. But if you need to get if you miss our phone numbers or if you miss our address, they do have the means to forward to us or to give you the information that's necessary to look into what we're talking about. The strong delusion involving UFOs is very real. I believe it's going to play a key role in the great falling away of the end of the age. I realize that might seem very unlikely and totally irrelevant at this time, but more and more men are beginning to believe that this is the case. And so we just encourage you to listen over the next few weeks. As I said, next week we're going to address the issue, UFOs of biblical explanation. We are going to be saying things that I'm sure a number of you will totally disagree with. But the scripture says that he that answers a matter before he hears it is not wise. And we encourage you to at least listen to what we're saying. The fundamentals of Christianity are unchanged by what we're saying. We simply believe that we're giving a backdrop for the end-time delusion that's going to involve UFO phenomena and all the psychic and paranormal events that will take place with that. Right now, we're going to stop and give you an ad concerning Bob Kaminsky's book. We ask you to listen to that. If time permits, we'll get back and say a few more words. If not, we'll catch you next week, same time, same place, right here at WPAO 1470 on your dial. So stay tuned and be a good cheer. Jesus Christ is victorious over these powers of darkness. If we don't get to see you before the close or get to talk to you before the close, we just encourage you to contact us and let us know what you think of the program. We'll see you later.
At key moments in history, God provides extraordinary spiritual insight meant to alert mankind to destructive forces engulfing his creation. We are now at that threshold in time where we can either respond to the warnings of God's wisdom or be drawn away by the lure of lying wonders spoken of in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Finally, here is a book that offers a timely and fascinating look into some of the strange happenings invading Christianity today. Bob Kaminsky, a Catholic charismatic, explores the trendy New Age paranormal experiences and UFO phenomena with a unique and in-depth insight into the consciousness of the event he calls the Luciferic Initiation. The old trickster Lucifer has left no stone unturned in the attempt to delude mankind into accepting that which is not supported by God's Word. This book will inform the reader and challenge the many paths to God's teaching espoused by today's New Age proponents. In addition, you will see the importance of protecting your mind from the deceptive awareness and higher level consciousness experience. For a copy of Lying Wonders, send $10 to Jim Cunningham, Post Office Box 432, Brookfield, Ohio, 44403, shipping and handling included. Do it today.